Well, kingdom greetings to each one of you. In my prayer time this week, I actually been spending a lot of time in the book of John and the book of 1 John. I've only been reading the book of 1 John in a couple weeks. So as we transition into a new season, I want us to be in the book of 1 John. So your homework I'm going to share with our cell leaders. I want all the cell groups to study the book of 1 John, verse by verse, and I'm going to be teaching from the book of 1 John until I'm done. So I'm not saying I'm doing a series, all right, but I'm probably going to spend a couple weekends in the book of 1 John, but we will study the book of 1 John in our home groups. There's so much there. I believe even some of the direction I sense the Lord is leading us for this new year, God's giving me some words from that book for us as a congregation. One of the things the Lord said to me, he's like, you know, you remember the, I don't know if anybody remember, one of the word he gave me for 2023 for us as a congregation, he said this was the year for growth. You see, now what we, sometimes when we think about growth, church setting, we think, well, a lot of people. Not necessarily. You could have a church full of people. It's an unhealthy church. And a couple years, if I remember, maybe it was 2020 or 2021, God gave me a word. He said, Ricardo, switch your focus, because my church, where Jesus says, I will build my church, the gates of hell cannot prevail against my church. He said, my church is not a building full of people. But my church is a couple people, a group of people. It could be a lot of people also, but it's those people who understand coming together, community, people who understand covenant, that are growing in the fear of the Lord. God's church. That makes sense? Those are just the word God gave me in the past years, and I've been just meditate on them in this last week. And he said, over Christmas, is one of the word my father-in-law shared with us as a family. He said, the Lord give him the word for us. He said, very simple. It's like, God, I think God wants us to go deeper. I received that. I was like, yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. And this week, in my prayer time and reading 1 John, it was just like, yes, deeper. What does that mean? Deeper in fellowship. God wants us to go deeper in life. Deeper in light. Deeper in love. Deeper in your understanding about the kingdom. Because, like I said at the beginning of 2023, everything that's born that doesn't grow, die. If you're born again, and you don't grow spiritually, you'll die spiritually. You remember? Born once, you get to die twice. If you're born twice during this life, physically and spiritually, you only have to experience physical death. Okay, can you help us out? Can you please, for respect for the name of the Lord, be off that phone? Thank you. Once again, let's put our phone on do not disturb. Okay, thank you. Amen? So, the book of 1 John, what does it mean to be in fellowship, covenant? You know, today, this after service, right after the service, if any of you, I don't think maybe some of you didn't hear about the announcement. If any of you wish to participate in the class, we offer a class to people who wants to know about our church. If you feel like, well, this is where the Lord's leading you, this is a time where we come together and we talk about what we are about, you know, what we talk about covenant. So right after the service, lunch is provided, so if you weren't aware of that. What does it mean to be in fellowship / covenant with God? When we're talking about God, we're talking about the Trinity. You know, we're talking about Father, Spirit, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? Sometimes people want to separate God from Jesus. You cannot be in God and ignore the Son. When you know the Son leads you to the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, what Jesus represented to the disciples when he was physically on earth, that's what the Holy Spirit is to us. The Holy Spirit is our guide. He's our light. He's a person. It's not just a spooky force, you know, spooky spirit, like people say, that makes people weird. No, it's a spirit of light. It's a spirit of power. We need the Holy Spirit. So let's look at let's have a glimpse at the book of 1 John. We're going to study it more in our home group, introduction of the book of 1 John. Who wrote the book of 1 John? That's an easy question, right? John. John. John also, what the Bible calls, when you study, it says John was one of the beloved disciple of Jesus. Remember the greatest argument they were having together? I wonder who started that argument. They started questioning who is the greatest. How amazing. I mean, it's like, they're like us, right? The disciples, they're like us. Because every time Jesus would go somewhere, he would choose 3 of the 12. He's like, you, John, you, James, you, Peter, come with me. And then all of a sudden, one day, they decided to start an argument. Guys, among all of us, who do you think is closer to Jesus? Huh? Sometimes we think like that. We think we're closer to Jesus than others. And you might, but that's nothing to cling to. It's all by grace. And Jesus said, come on, guys, you got it so wrong. If you want to be great, if you want to be closer to me, you serve people. If you want people to know that you and I, we're close, love them. Respect them, serve them. I love the book of 1 John. We're going to learn a lot. So therefore, John, he was this beloved disciple. He was very close to Jesus. He was actually one of the youngest disciple. This guy is one of they boil him in oil. He wouldn't die. Let me break it to you. You can die before your time. I better slow down. I want to get excited. You know, it's like, you can die before your time. So why are you afraid of death? Maybe you're not. You should not be afraid of death. Everybody that dies, they have this appointed time to die. John, the disciple, beloved disciple of God, of Jesus, they boiled him in oil. You know, all the disciples, they martyred. They died for their faith. Peter was nailed to the cross. He said, please, don't nail me. You're going to kill me? You're going to kill this physical body? But don't nail me to the position of my Lord. Put the cross upside down. Can you imagine the pain? Peter, who denied Christ, but got filled with the Holy Spirit, preached the gospel, give his life. Say yes, Lord, yes, to your will, not my will, to your will and to your ways. This is a year for you to go deeper in God's will for you. This is the year for you to surrender. Surrender! Stop fighting! Surrender! Accept the will of the Lord. Accept the word of the Lord. You will experience joy. And that's what it says. We're going to read that. 1 John. I write all this to you. We're going to talk about 1 John. So you could experience the joy. I talk on that Christmas Eve. Go online and listen to it again. For you to experience the joy of knowing Christ. That's why John, 1 John. He wrote 1 John. So that's this John we're talking about, the Apostle John, beloved John. And there is nothing like hearing a story from a little eyewitness, right? You know, sometimes people talk about something they heard, secondhand story. They always deformed it. I don't know if you guys ever play this game where you sit around a table and then you whisper, let's say there's six of us around the table, and you whisper, the cow is in the barn, to the first person. And then the first person, this person whispered, the cow is in barn. Before you, the word goes around, it comes back to you all twisted. That's a good game. Try it. That's why there's nothing like receiving the good news from someone who experienced it. I told you earlier, if we would do like an open mic, Friday night we did it during our prayer, but we won't have time today. But maybe do it in your home group for the first time you meet this year, next year. Oh, next year, right? Next year, not yeah, next year. Think about it. What has the Lord done in your life? You and I overcome the enemy two ways. Number one is we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. So therefore, you stand on what Jesus has done for you on the cross. So Satan cannot tell you, you're not worthy enough. Satan cannot say that to you. When he said, you tell him, Satan. That's the only person you're allowed to say that to. Get away from me. Get away from me. Am I? Oh, you're not worthy enough. You can't. What are you doing worshiping? What are you doing worship? What are you, why are you, you know, why are you worshiping Jesus? You were looking at porn this week. You know, why are you saying, bless the Lord of my soul? You're always talking about people. You see, when the Lord brings those things into your attention, you repent. You don't shrink away. Kendra said it. You don't shrink away. Because the enemy, he wants you to shrink away. He wants you to stay away from the grace of God. John. There's a lot we can, a lot more time we'll spend on the life of John. In our home groups, we will talk more about John. The things we can learn from John. He lived a life surrendered to Jesus. The audience the book was written to, it says communities in Asia Minor experiencing what they call a division, split. The date between, they said the book was written between 85 and 92. But once again, they give a window. Type of letter, what type the book was, it's a letter. Major theme, we're going to study those. Persevering in truth. Hold on tight the truth. What's the truth? The Bible. False teaching. Men, be aware of false teaching. Be aware of false teaching. Be aware of false teaching. False teaching is trying to paint sin or make sin acceptable in the church. You see, our culture in the church is guided by this constitution, the Bible. The Bible is our constitution. The Bible tells us how we should conduct our lives in our marriages, at work. You see, for those of you who think, well, you're not called to ministry, God called you to shine His light at work. You see, the problem with the world, so many Christians have misrepresented God. The only difference, they go to church. They smoke, they drink, they drug, they are in pornography, they divorce, they do everything bad the same. But when someone comes to God, you surrender your life to Christ, Christ changes it. Anyone is in Christ, that person becomes a new creation. You grow from glory to glory. We'll never be perfect. Don't let anybody fool you. We will be perfect when we see the Lord face to face. So therefore, there is no judgment. Now, judgment means, when I say there is no judgment, there is no condemnation. But the Bible calls us to judge each other, not the world. It's not in my business to judge the world. But I tell you, if you call yourself a believer and you're mistreating your mate, you're mistreating your husband or your wife, I can call you out. If me, as your pastor, is misbehaving, you see the way I'm acting, the way I'm treating myself, treating people, and you see it, please, I hope you have the guts to come to me. Don't let me go burn in hell. I'm not in heaven yet. Don't let anybody fool you, make you think that the pastor is in heaven. No, he's not yet. The book of 1 John. This is just the introduction. False teaching. We're going to learn about false teaching and talk about God's character. Character is what you need to protect your reputation. Your reputation is who you are in public and how many times you see so many people that are just up front. You know, they've got a face, they're on TV, they're on the news, preacher. But then because they don't take care of their private life, my private life is my character. The person I am behind closed doors. Character. You remember that this when I taught on character that year, a couple of years ago, Aaron? You guys remember that? I need to preach this sermon again. Character. A statue is a character. Why do they call a character? Number one is a character. Why? Because, you know, wherever you see A is a character. You can't change A. It doesn't matter if somebody think A is O. A doesn't change. A character, like a statue, whether it's raining, it's shining, sun shining, it's snowing, it's cold, whatever the weather, the statue stands. Smiling. Because when they set that statue, it was a character. See, God's character. God wants us to reflect his character as his children. God is holy. God is pure. God is faithful. See, Jesus keeps his word. No matter what it takes, when you give someone your word, you should keep it. Your yes must be a yes. People should know that you're a man, a woman of your word. And they should know. And that's the culture we live here in our church. We live in a culture of love, acceptance, forgiveness, and honor. We don't talk about each other. If you hurt me, I'm going to go to you. Now, if someone hurt you, you come to me. I could ask you, okay, why have you tried to talk to them? Well, I have not. Well, then why don't you go talk to them? Well, as a matter of fact, you should go talk to them because they hurt you. Oh, I'm not going to talk to them. Well, then I'm going to help you out. I'm going to tell them. See, that's why people left church hurt. Remember what I said? Every healthy family talks. See, in our culture, people don't talk. Nobody talk and they keep it in and then they divide. See, division is the plan of the enemy. Unity is the plan of God. God wants us to live in unity. Satan doesn't want that. Wow. Themes. Those are just some of the themes in the book of 1 John. Preserving the truth. We're going to learn a lot about that. False teaching. God's character. Christ's centrality. And Christian discipleship. Everything we do here in this church, we do it. Everything I do in life, I do it with the perspective of discipleship. That's why, for those of you who knows me, I like when other people, I'm looking for other preachers here. Is there other preachers here? You know, I mean, I'm going to make the announcement. One of our brothers soon going to be preaching here next year. I know, one of you guys. But I know, sometimes someone asks you to preach, to teach, it's not like I need a break. Yeah, I do need a break, but that's not the reason I'm doing it. I'm doing it to disciple you. I'm doing it because when I talk to you, I see you have something to offer. So therefore, the body of Christ wants to hear it, needs to hear it. But some of you who has already experienced what I'm talking about, you remember the last time I asked you to preach? You felt like heaven came over your shoulders. You felt like, it's like, man, I can't do it. And then the closer the date gets, the time gets to the date you have to do it, it's like, oh man, you can't sleep. You can't go to the bathroom. It's like, man. And the Sunday morning, you about feel sick in your stomach. And then you come up here, you're shaking. Like, can't look anybody. Discipleship. That's the way, that's why we do it. We do everything to disciple you. The church must disciple. That's what Jesus, that was Jesus' commandment. He says, go and make disciples, followers of Jesus. You know, followers of Jesus. I'm looking, who could take my place? When I say who could take my place, who could I rise up? So you're telling me I'm a pastor for 20 years and in the church I raise nobody as a son? See, the problem is in America, church, or in other places too, church become pastoral, become a vocation. It is a vocation, but it is first of all a call. But if it's my call, I'm looking at who could I train, raise up. When I'm older, or even soon before I get too old, like in 96 years old, you know, I have someone to take my place. That's discipleship. That makes sense. Am I making sense? So when we ask you to step up here, read, pray, in home group, we ask you, what is the Lord doing in your life? We're putting you on the spotlight. Why? It's all about discipleship. It makes no sense for me to always come here and talk to you and I never hear from you. I want to hear what God's doing in your life. So you're telling me this whole last year for 52 Sunday I spoke to you, disciple you, and I don't know what God has done? I have no idea if everything I'm saying to you registered. You hear me, you hear my testimonies, you hear what God's doing in my life, and I never hear what God's doing in your life. That can be discouraging. There's nothing like a mentor seeing his disciple getting it. That's why we do what we do. And all this and more in the book of 1 John. Like, man, 1 John only have about 4 or 5 chapters. I think 5 chapters. Outline. The letter openings in chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Walking in God's light. Keeping God's commands. Chapter 1, verse 5. New status, new love. Believing and living as God's children. Testing the spirits. Loving for others, and then closing. And then my next slide goes, it says, the season to go deeper in light, love, and life. Fellowship. In 1 John, there's a verse, the key verse in 1 John is this. 1 John 5, chapter 1, verse 5. Oh, 5, verse 13, right? Let's go through it. 1 John 5, verse 13. This is what it says. It says, I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Anybody here believe in the Son of God? Amen. Thank you, Lord. It says, I write to you so that you may know you have eternal life. Because believe me, there are people who goes to church who does not have eternal life. You see, we are... Dying is so easy. It takes a lifetime to build 40 years, 60 years. And then just like that, in a heartbeat, we can die. Eternal life, eternity, we don't play with eternity. And as for me and my house, as for me and God's church, I want to make sure when you die, or the trumpet sound, because the trumpet could sound before you die. I know some of us, that would be our preference, which is okay. There's nothing wrong with wanting that. But are you ready? Are you ready to die? In other words, are you ready to meet the Lord? But I said it here and I'm going to repeat that. Repeat it. When you're not going to die to boop, enter eternal life. You're already in eternal life. Your spirit lives through Christ. You already have eternal life. Eternal life means you won't die spiritually. That's what eternal life means. We all will die physically. A couple weeks ago, there was a guy who came in my neighborhood. He was working for my neighbor. And I went over and just talked with him. Man, in probably 3 minutes, the guy spoke 3 cigarettes. I could probably exaggerate it, but it seems like it's like... I was just like, man. I said, brother, I said, do you know what this does to your lungs? So, okay, you young. You think, well, I'm just going to smoke away. But then God might want to bless you with a long life. Then here you are, you young, you're smoking your lungs away. And then you're 57 and you're dealing with all lungs and issues, all kinds of cancer. And you're like, God, please heal my lungs, heal my lungs. He can do it. Don't get me wrong. But the chance is you might die. Why? Because you are smoking your lungs away. You are destroying your lungs. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You take care of this body. You feed it healthy. You take care of it. You don't take drugs. You don't put toxic stuff in it. That's it. That's like when you become a Christian, you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you honor God with your lungs. You honor God with your tongues. You honor God with everything you do. It's not religion. Oh, are we all free to smoke a cigar? Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you go out there and smoke. That's not what I'm saying. It's not religion. It's like your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is holy, so therefore everything you do it to honor. In all I do, I honor you, right? In all I do, I honor you. You sing, in all I do, you pray, in all I do, Lord, allow me to honor you. So key verse of 1 John is 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. I have written this to you so you might have eternal life. As we transition, there's nothing that brings us more peace knowing that we have eternal life. Even as some of us, we've experienced, you know, we've lost some loved ones this year. Guess what? We will continue to miss them. You will miss them for the rest of your life. But be at peace. Take courage. You do your best to go make sure that you go see that person again. If they died in the Lord. Now, if they died in the Lord, you can't pray someone to heaven once they pass. We have a choice. We have a chance right now. That's good. The season for you to go deeper in light, love, life. What is fellowship? Fellowship exactly means sharing participation with a community. The word in Greek is, you probably don't remember it, but we'll talk more about it later, koinonia. Koinonia. If you want to speak in tongues, say koinonia, koinonia, koinonia. It means fellowship with the Lord, fellowship with the Lord, fellowship with the Lord. Remember, fellowship, when you study the in-depth the word fellowship, you also find the word covenant in it. You know, there's another word in that's similar to koinonia in the Greek. It's koinos, which was used in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Let's go there. It says, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of your sins. So number one, when you repent, you must get baptized. If you say you repent from your sin and you never get baptized in water, check yourself. Why? You know, it's just someone who says they love you, but they don't want to commit. Oh, yeah, I love you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. But they don't want to commit. They want to be with everybody else out there. If you're smart enough, you should get it. Get away from that person. Because whoever loves you and they want to spend the rest of their life with you, they want to commit. And in our own word, in our own world, you know, not what they made marriage to be now. You know, the guy, he proposed to the girl, and they get married because they want to engage, they want to commit to each other. They want to be in covenant with each other. They want to be in fellowship with each other. Peter says, repent and get baptized, and then you will be forgiven of your sin, and you shall receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you see the chain? You repent. You get baptized, and then you receive the Holy Spirit. You are you filled with the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. I'm telling you again, from Peter. Be saved from this perverse generation. We live in a perverse generation. Be saved from it. You're like, man, what's different? I think the only thing that's different is we have TikTok and WhatsApp and Facebook. That's just, you have social media that's just amplified everything. But men's heart was always evil. Right? God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah town in Genesis. Sodom and Gomorrah. God destroyed that because of men's iniquity. Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly receive his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to the church. And they continue steadfastly. That's the word. See, this phrase right here, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and what? Fellowship. This word is koinonia. They understood community. Do not forsake the assembly of the saints. As the year goes, change. If you weren't in a home group, go in a home group. Don't do the gospel by yourself. By yourself, the enemy will kill you. The worries of life will kill you. And true family, you find it in Jesus. Oh, really? True family, you find it in Jesus. I am what they call the angel of the church. You all are my family. I'm committed to you. But are you committed to me? I don't know. Well, yeah, I know most of you are. But you don't want to waste your energy to someone. You help them, but you don't want to waste your energy to something that's not committed to you. You see, it's the same thing with God. God wants you to fellowship with him. You know those people? They don't honor God. They don't respect God. They're living their lives. But then when they're in trouble, Jesus, help me. Oh, Jesus. I know you can help. I know. I've heard. I've seen. I've heard testimony. So now I need you to do this for me right now. And then Jesus is probably thinking, I don't know you. Because I function with principles. You see, when you are in relationship with your Father, you don't have to shrink when you go before your Father. And sometimes our earthly fathers, they're not good. They don't understand how to love us. And we, you know, for me, when I was growing up, I thought I could never go to my father. I could never ask my dad for a dollar. Because I know he would yell at me. He would be like, you know, what do you need a dollar for? I never asked my dad for anything. Never. Growing up, I never asked my dad. If I need something, I could go to mama. My mama was our safe place. I go to mama, I said, you know, mom, this can you, you know, and then she figure it out. Because father was not a safe place. God is not like my father. God is a good God. But then he wants his children. Everybody was created by God. But only those who receive the Son become children of God. Only those who receive the Son have access to his storehouse. That's right. So if you have received Jesus as your Lord, you have access to his storehouse. Thank you for those amen. See now, all who believe were together. This is what we call the four pillars of the gospel. They were in the teaching. They were steadfastly devoted themselves in the apostles' teaching. They were in fellowship. Understand fellowship. What does it mean to be in fellowship with God? It means to be in fellowship with the body of Christ. You know, thank God COVID's done. The year of 2020 is the year that we've missed in all of our lives. We're like, oh, what happened? Yeah, we missed 2020. Okay, but do you also know 2020 killed, destroyed a lot of believers? I thank God for our staff, for our servant leaders, people that does the camera, the projection. But do you know what I'm going to do this year, next year? I'm going to have 1 month, one Sunday a month where we have no screen, no live stream. Because I don't want to burn them out. I want them to come to church. I don't know how long I'm going to do that, but in January I'm going to start. So we're going to have one Sunday in January. I'll tell you in our email. I'll send it out in email. I'll tell you which Sunday we won't have screen. I'll put it online. For those of you watching online, you know there's going to be a Sunday during the month, every month until we figure it out. There won't be any live stream. Because I don't want Aaron back there all the time. I don't want the camera people back there all the time. We have limited human resources. Maybe some of you, God will challenge you to step on board. But I don't want to keep up with all this stuff. I want to keep things simple. Because everybody that's serving, who is serving, is so dear to me. Well, maybe there's going to be a time, a Sunday, we won't have worship. Or maybe I'll just sing a couple songs. I don't want Alyssa and Ryan, I don't want them to always be playing. We will burn out. Maybe there's going to be just a time we come together, we read the word, we encourage each other. Because when you have those people doing all the time the service, you wear them out. That makes sense. Fellowship, as the year change, you make it a priority to be in fellowship. You know, some of you, I don't want to tell name, but it's good to, I'm very encouraged because last year, I remember I was challenging some of the guys back there to come to church. It's not fun when you always come to church to work. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't come here to work. Sunday morning, I'm not working. You're thinking, well, this is your job, Pastor. Man, no, I'm serving Jesus. See, when I'm done, I'm not like, oh, man, I'm so happy this is over. Man, I'm so, that brings me life. This brings me life, man. That's like I go home, yeah, you know, physically, I'm a human, okay? I feel tired, you know, and I prepare for this. So I go home, I feel like I'm ready for life, man. Let's go. You know? So therefore, I don't want that for anyone who God call to help during the ministry. Now, saying this, you understand the reason why we do what we do. The reason I function the way I function. The reason I ask you, well, do you wanna do something? As the year change, you're gonna get connect in fellowship, deeper in fellowship with God, deeper in fellowship with the body. You ask the Lord, where do you want me to plug in? Where do you want me to serve? I'd hate for Father to come back and ask you, what have you done with this talent I give you? What have you done with this gift I give you? I hate for you to be like this unfaithful servant saying, well, Lord, you know, I know you weep where you don't sow. I just took it and dug a hole and I put it in. Here's your talent. The Lord gifted you with something. Do not listen to the lie of the enemy telling you, you're not enough, you don't have enough, you're done, you're too old, you can't sing, you can't do this. Well, some of you can't sing, okay? All right? And if you think you can sing, come to me, I'll tell you if you can sing or not. So you all joyful noisers out here. I need you out here. But there are some of you who are really can sing. I need you up here. I have a joyful noiser over here. It's so good. It says, now all the believers were together and had all things in common. You see, that in the kingdom, you put your money together. You know, God doesn't need your money because he will provide without you. But in the kingdom, they put everything. When you look what the Lord has done in your life, man, giving God $5,000, that's no big deal, man. Guys, you are so blessed. I am so blessed. They put everything they had in common and sold their possession and goods and divided them among themselves. Anyone had needs. So continue daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. So that's why in our home groups we go from home to homes. You know, I go to your house, you come to my house. My goal this next year is I want to know where every one of you live. So if you think your house is too messy for me to come, get ready. I will come. You won't stop me. You know, because it happens, you know. So I talk to some people. I said, I would like to come see you. Oh, my house is so filthy. I don't want you there. Okay, year's changing. I just break it to you. I'm coming. So you better start cleaning. I love you like that. You know, when your family comes home, yeah, you clean. But the more they stay, you don't care anymore. That's the way we should live. That's the way we should live. That's the kingdom of God. They eat together. They play together. They play Uno. The other day, I killed Kendra in Monopoly. I'm very proud of that. Yeah, whatever. She wants to say she beat me before, but I don't remember that. I don't remember losing, but I really remember winning. But look at this. Look at this last phrase right here. 47, right? It says, and the Lord added. Oh my goodness. Guys, this is the recipe. The Lord added daily to those who are being saved. So as we, as a congregation, get it, as we grow in fellowship with Jesus, as we go deeper in the love of God, in the light of God, in the life of God, in commitment, in covenant with each other, the Lord will add daily in our midst. I tell you, there are people out there who are looking for love we have to offer. There are people out there that are looking for a genuine church. We are a genuine church. We love Jesus here. We love one another here. We give room to the presence of God. And that's the way we will continue to be. I love this verse. You underline this verse in your Bible. It says, then the Lord, praising God and having favor with all people. Praising God and having favor with all people. You remember what it says in Revelation? When the Lord removes his lampstand from a church, it means the Lord removes his favor. The Lord stopped advertising. You see, the best advertisement for a church is not necessarily online. I've done it. You know, I promoted a couple events we're doing online, you know, for 5-6 days. It's good. I'm not saying it's not. But I think the best advertisement for us as a congregation is to live in love. Let the love of Christ overflow through us. Let us live a holy life. Let us live a life that honors one another. Love one another. Ugh. Is that good? I'm going to stop right here and continue next week. This is just the introduction. I'm not even in chapter 1. Huh? Is the word of God good? You know, the book of 1 John. That's so good. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. We receive it, Lord. We say yes to you. Lisa, come play for me. We say yes to you, Father. Thank you that your word is truth. Your word is all we need. And Father, as we transition into this new year, Lord, we say yes to your word. I don't know, it's just like I was thinking about this song in preparation with 1 John. I was just like, yeah, yes, Lord, to your will and to your ways. We will cease striving. We will surrender.